I want to share with you that, well, let me just read to you from Psalms chapter 103. Okay? And if you want to follow, and I'm going to ask you, because this is a long sermon and you'll need your you'll need your circulation going so you don't go to sleep. That would really embarrass you, wouldn't it? If you went to sleep while the preacher was preaching, wouldn't that really embarrass you? Say, thank you. Somebody bail me out over here. Okay. You want to stand? Yep, your blood circulate. Boy, we got it warm enough in here this morning, or is that just me? Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and then forget not all of his benefits, or none of his benefits. He who pardons all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with loving kindness and compassion, who satisfies your years with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagle. The Lord performs righteous deeds and judgment for all who are oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the sons of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in loving kindness. He will not always strive with us, nor will he keep his anger forever. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, hallelujah, hallelujah, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities, glory be. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his loving kindness towards those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Just as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he himself knows our frame. He is mindful that we are but dust. God in heaven, Father God, who created us, who made us as intricately as we are, which is more than we know. Every year, it seems, medical science and medical advancements or scientific advancements discover more of what you have done in us than we ever thought was possible. Thank you, Father. Thank you that we can stand here today and praise your holy name for being who you are and what you are and who we are in relationship to you. God, may we go from this place today saying it is good. It's very good to have been in the house of the Lord. This we pray in that mighty, mighty name, the name Jesus. Amen. Thank you. Be seated. I have chosen that we would kindly build this sermon of thanksgiving toward God. Now, there are a lot of things that we are thankful for, and in that searching I was doing, it seems someone took a survey, and the one thing that America is most thankful for is Thanksgiving dinner. Well, there was a missionary named Yeager, several years ago, wrote a big, thick book. And in Yeager's book, he makes this statement. By the way, the book was free. I gave mine away at great sacrifice. I did. I wish I could find. I've Googled, I cannot find another. I wish I could find one. In that book, he says things like this. The world eats to live. America lives to eat. We sort of show it, don't we? But other things that we're thankful for, we're thankful for the country we're born in. That came out in the survey. We're thankful for our church. Hallelujah, that came out in the survey. We're thankful for our families. Now, I'm not giving you these in the order that they were in priorities. But we are thankful for our family. I love those scenes when families are recognized and celebrated by families. And a lot of what I'm going to say today applies to the family. For instance, praise is the natural offspring of the heart's delight. Did you get that? Praise is the natural offspring of the heart's delight. You know what? I haven't showed you. I want you all to see this. My new grandchild. Oh, that's the wrong source, isn't it? My new grandchild. I got his picture right here, you know. I want you to see this. You be sure to come by after church and take a look. Well, you know, he's exceptional, my grandchild is. Walked on the fifth day. Talked in his second week. Was preaching his very first night. Yours did too. Yeah, God, take care of me. Praise is the natural offspring of the heart. We do that. The things that we take great delight in, we praise. You know, you'll excuse me for making references through here to our family. But anyway, with our fourth son, Timothy, and by the way, they'll be here for Christmas. Don't you tell Timothy I told this. He doesn't know it. But our fourth son, Timothy, was born at McLaren Hospital in Flint, Michigan. And the Flint River runs right by the hospital. And Peggy Loreen happened to be in a ward on that side of the hospital. And she was in there with three other young moms, first-time moms, you know, husbands bringing them chocolates and flowers and roses and just all kinds of to-do over them. One of those young ladies said, "Well, Miss Smith, where's your husband?" She said, "I know, I'm not for sure, but down there on the seventh green, it looks like he's putting right now." There are some things that lose their emphases, but I want you to know, I loved him. He's just like me. If you have opportunity to get acquainted with him, you'll find out he has personality, the only one that does, just like me. He's not bossy. He's very friendly and very open, easy to relate to. He's not a know-it-all. Now, the others are like their mom. You know I won't dare. Praise is the natural offspring of the heart's delight. And by the way, those people who are always bragging on Jesus, why are they doing that? Heart's delight. You can tell what really, really, really is important to you by what you praise. By the way, praise, I thought I lost that for a minute. Praise strengthens relationships. Hear me? Praise strengthens. Now, I want you to know you're the worst child ever born does not strengthen relationships. Now, if you're the wife you ought to be, does not strengthen relationships. If you were the husband we'd have, does not strengthen relationships. Praise strengthens relationships, builds those relationships. You see psychological books written about what I just went through, that itinerary. People, and you see it. By the way, if you want to hear it, go to Walmart and find you a mama with a 6 or 7 month old in the grocery cart thing, you know. And you find one, it's 2-year-old, and she goes by and he puts it in the cart, and she puts it out, and he balls her out, and she busts him out. Praise strengthens relationships. Now, Peggy will tell me, I told you never to tell that again. But I want to tell you something. It is hilarious. We have four sons, and all of them played football. Three of them played at Elizabeth Ann Johnson High School in Mount Morris, Michigan. And on this one particularly nice fall night with a full moon, beautiful night for football, we played Beecher High School. Anybody here from the Flint area ever been there? Well, I'm not going to describe Beecher High School except to say that was our rival. Wow. It was our rival. We had a really good team. Beecher had a really good team. And when we got there, I don't know why we were late. We hardly ever were late. But anyway, the game hadn't started. But over on the visitor side, which was us's, the little old bleachers. You ever notice that? For the visitor side, they'll have little bitty bleachers. And for the home team, they got all these big bleachers. Well, our side was filled up five or six deep from goal pole to goal pole, the bleachers crammed full. And, you know, being a non-prejudiced kind of guy, it didn't bother me to go sit on the black school's side. And so we just went over on the home team side, and we sat down on the 50-yard line about halfway up. Beautiful seats, perfect seats. Moon shining right in their eyes. And Peggy Lorene, when we first started playing football with the boys, didn't know much about football. Our oldest, named Kendall, he played on the line, both sides. You know, when the ball changed over, he did too. He just switched sides. Mom was always, always just fussing on old Groffalo's ear. Let Kenny carry the ball. He runs faster than most all those other boys. And I could not explain to her. Kendall could not explain to her. And Groffalo sure enough couldn't explain to her that linemen don't carry the ball. You know, that's not their designated job. Well, anyway, to make this story shorter, because she's pointing her finger at me, about halfway through the game, Kenny was playing middle linebacker. And a little 150-pound scat back came right through a hole that they had made for him. But Kenny was a pretty smart player, and he looked at the formation and knew about what was happening, and so he just slid over into that hole. And that little guy coming in, oh, you could hear helmets rattle and shoulder pads rattle and knee pads rattle and girdles rattle. And I mean, you know, wham, and the ball went straight up. You know, and I'm just and he did. He caught that ball and chased the quarterback all the way back down the field, the quarterback running from him. And here's Mom. That's my boy. That's my boy. Oh, that's my boy. She just thrilled to death. There wasn't any better ball player anywhere in the whole world than Kenny was at that moment. And by the way, he did score the touchdown, the whole and only one of his career. And she just up, and I'm getting her by the tail trying to get her down because we're on the wrong side of the field, and I know I'm going to get thrown over the back of the bleachers. And that big old hand reached up and got a hold of my shoulder. And the man said, "Sir, we understand. We have sons out there too. Let her have her fun." Never again will I sit on the visitor side, you know. But anyway, you know why she is doing that? Praise is the natural offspring of a heart's delight, and praise strengthens relationships. By the way, I hope you make a habit, a serious habit, saying to some family member, "I really love you. I appreciate you. You're good. You're good. You're the best." Because praise strengthens relationships. So now, What have we got here in this sermon? We're going to go fast. Don't worry. We'll be through by 12:30 or 1 o'clock. We're going to go fast. Listen. Praise the Lord. Bless the Lord, O my soul. By the way, that word uniquely is the same as praise the Lord. And you'll notice that the psalmist was very fond of saying, praise the Lord. For he's good. For his mercy endures forever. God, let's just get into it. Look with me, if you will, now. Bless the Lord, verse 2, and forget not all of his benefits. What are the benefits of knowing God? Now, you ought to listen. You should pay attention, because these are for real, for real. What are the benefits of knowing God? Verse 3. Who pardons all my iniquities. There's no greater statement. Listen to me. Now, there's no greater statement that can be made than that statement right there. Who is my partner. Now, if he was in Texas, I'd have to say it a different way. But he's your partner. He forgives and pardons all. If you underline anything in that text, underline that word all. A-L-L. Let me declare to you this morning that there's not one thing in your life. God, if you've trusted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, God has not forgiven you all. Not one thing. All. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Because God did not send his Son Jesus into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on Jesus is not condemned. He that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. He is your partner. He has forgiven everything you ever did. He's forgiven everything you ever thought about doing. He ever forgiven everything you ever planned to do and didn't do, if you've trusted Jesus. But let me tell you, Jesus himself said this, chapter 14 of John, verse 6, I am the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life, and no one, by the way, that means you too, comes to the Father but by me. Now, I don't know what package you carry with you. I have talked to people who said, God could never forgive me because, you know, and had an itinerary of stuff, and I wouldn't have forgiven them all, but I'm not God. Hallelujah. Aren't you happy? God is God. Jesus is Lord, and he's your partner. Let's move right along now. Still in verse 3, point B, who heals all of your diseases. He's your physician. He's your physician. Now you say, well, preacher, why have I got what I've got? You can say better still, preacher, since you've been here, you've been to a dozen doctors for a dozen different tests. Why that, if God's your physician? I don't know. But I will know. And I believe this. I believe this with all my heart. There's not one thing that God can't take care of in my physical body, in my health. Let me tell you a quick story. And I told you I would allude to our family a lot today. In Flint, Michigan at Hurley Hospital in about, 72? 62. Our third son, Samuel, had spinal disease. Huh? Come on, help. What? Yeah, spinal meningitis. To the degree that the doctor, Polish, it was his name, was telling us every night, he won't be alive when you get back in the morning. For 3 weeks, he told us that. And by the way, watch what you believe and watch who you believe. We went in this particular morning, and there he was, and he had screamed till he couldn't make a sound. He was tied by his arms and his legs to the four corners of that little crib of a bed he was in. And if this was his belly button, he's bowed up like that. And we went to the chapel in Hurley Hospital. And Peggy said, "Lord, we do not wish to see him suffer anymore. If you're going to take him, please take him now. If you're not going to take him, please heal him. He's 8 months old, nearly nine." We went back up to the third floor, isolation, intensive care. And he laid there, flat in the bed. And we supposed that God had answered her prayer and that he was going to heaven. It's kind of hard for me to tell still yet. That was a few years ago. But then I noticed his little tummy was moving. He was breathing. Fever was gone. Been in the 104, 105 range in weeks. Dr. Polish had already told us that if he lived, his brain had been cooked with that high fever. They had put so many tubes in his skull. Well, anyway, I picked him up and untied him and put him in the lap. And a nurse said, "You can't do that." She was pretty dumb, really. I didn't tell her that. But I was doing it. She had to see that. And then she ran out and got one of those doctors that, you know, takes care of wards. And he come in and said, "You can't do that." And I thought, "Man, you're worse off than she is. You got more training." And here I'm sitting here doing this. So I told him I was doing it. And he said, "But we just don't want you doing him any harm." I said, "My goodness, man. You've told me, your doctors have told me every night he wouldn't be alive in the morning." Now, I'll shorten that story real quick. Dr. Polish came in and he said, "Hey, man, isn't this great? Miracle of God." Now, he didn't accept that too good. Miracle of God. Well, you can call that if you want to, or what would you call it? He didn't have a name for it. And I said, "We're headed home." He said, "If you'll let us observe him one more night, we'd sure appreciate that, because this is something that doesn't usually happen." Now, I'll finish the story. We took him home with them telling us he would be a moron and he would be invalid. You know, you wonder, did we pray the right thing? God, listen, folks, God does not make a mistake. God doesn't say, "Oops." God was right on target. Dr. Polish and his wife got saved. He had to recognize this was just the hand of God. There was no other explanation for it. God is our physician. He knows everything about you. Now, there are some things that we will not explain here on earth, but in heaven we will at his judgment. I think Paul will get a more complete answer to why God didn't heal him, because he said three times, "I prayed God would heal me," the man who had prayed for others to be healed. So, God is our partner. God is our physician. And we'll move on now. Who redeems your life from the pit. Now, I'm going to sweep by this. Oh, there's a lot to be said. I want you to know that God is your protector. I want you to know this, that the demons of hell would sweep you off planet Earth and right into the very abyss that was made for them and for Satan, called hell, if they could. But God is your protector. Never forget it. Always thank him. And by the way, in more ways than you, I've wondered how many times, how many times has God protected you? We didn't even recognize it because we didn't know it was God's hand protecting us. He's our protector. And by the way, there's not a thing, not a thing, God can't do. He is mightier. In fact, listen, folks, you need to learn something, and I will one of these days share this in fullness with you, but you need to learn that in the blood of Jesus Christ and in your testimony that he that is in you is greater than he's in the world, you're protected from all the demons of hell that would destroy you if they could, but God won't let them. Read the book of Job. And follow that in its entirety, how God kept doing what only God can do. So he is your pardoner. He is your protector. He is your physician. By the way, one last thing. Verse 5, who satisfies your years with good things. God is your provider. That's why the Word of God says, now you be content in whatever state you find yourself in. Because God has already said to you, listen, I will not let anything come upon you that you are not able to bear. And with every temptation, I will provide a way of escape therewith for you. He is your provider. We worry and we fret, but all along, we just need to be praising God for where we are, what we are, because, let me just tell you, it's been so long since I heard God say, oops, I think he forgot how. What about you? God making mistakes in your life? No, praise the Lord. Listen, when all else fails, praise the Lord. When all's the world's going to pots. Praise the Lord. Well, I don't use that anymore. Praise the Lord. God is with us. This Thanksgiving, you praise God for your family. Be sure to do that. You praise your family. Be sure to do that. Share with those in your family how much you love them and how much you appreciate them. You praise God for, and by the way, maybe once a year, but you ought to praise God for the food you have on that great Thanksgiving dinner. But above everything else, praise God. Just praise him. Would you stand, please? Ashley's going to come. We're going to sing a song that says this, just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, listen, O Lamb of God, I come. I want to do this. I want you people to get acquainted with this altar. It's a great place. While we're singing this, and we're going to do one little exercise, but it's over. Would you just come on up here, stand, kneel, be in this altar. And he does. Listen, he bids you come. Come, be with those in this altar. We're going to do one little thing that I think will be meaningful and helpful. Father, I pray that you will fill our hearts with thanksgiving May this be the richest Thanksgiving season we have went through in a long, long time. May we be grateful, but especially may we be thankful to you for all that you are and all that we are in Christ Jesus. Bless this church, Father. Bless our hearts that we might always emphasize and make significant those things that are really the most important, those things that are the natural offspring of our hearts and the things that strengthen our relationships. This we pray in Jesus' name, amen. Would you in the altar stand, please? Now, and by the way, you can out here too if you wish, but I want you just to mention one thing you're grateful for this Thanksgiving. Just beat it out. Say it out.
Family.
Family. Amen. Yes. Family. Amen. Amen.
A good marriage. Good marriage.
A good marriage. Good man. Yes.
For our ministry.
Yes, for our ministry and New Life Fellowship. We are thrilled to be here. It's a blessing to be here. It's a blessing to work with you guys. I'm going too long now. To work with you guys. Anyone else? Come on.
Thankful for this episode of my life.
Amen.
For freedom to worship. For freedom to worship.
Oh my. Aren't you so thrilled you're born in a nation where you have the freedom to worship? Anybody out here?